ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासति गौरभक्तवृन्द। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। You can repeat after me. I will say a few words and you can repeat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. I am grateful to all of you for inviting me amongst you. Am I audible to everybody?
Yes.
It is very rare to have a corporate discussing about spirituality in office.
Yes, we are very lucky.
It is very good actually. Because whether you like it or not, whether you know or not, spirituality is an essential basis of everybody's life. Only some know it, some don't know it. Why is that? Because each and everybody is a spirit soul. That fact doesn't go, whether you believe, don't believe, whether you know or don't know. Essentially, we all are spirit souls. And we have a body which makes us work for various things. So work is essential, and whether you like it or don't like it, everybody has to work. Is that right? Many of us don't like to work. Many of us would like to not work only, but still we have to work. And even those who don't like to work, they still keep working, because the heart is still working. If you're sitting at home also, the heart is still beating, and some amount of calories are spent even if you don't do anything in life. Because it is said, even if you are sleeping, some calories are burnt. Because the body has to keep alive. So to keep alive, some expense is there always. So like that, work is essential. Work is cannot be avoided by anybody, whether a highly qualified person or unqualified person. Everybody has to work. But we see so much of differentiation in the world. Everybody is working. Even the servant at home is working 18 hours a day maybe. And you are working for maybe 12 hours a day. But there is so much of difference in your earnings, your fruits of work, his earnings, his fruits of work, his kind of work, your kind of work. So work essentially has three things. If you analyze technically, the work itself is one category. What work you are doing. Somebody is maybe cooking at home and you are doing some management in the office. Somebody is producing some goods, somebody is delivering those goods. So work itself is one item in the topic of work. Second, which is also important, which generally people like us who are in administration look at the mood of work. All of your HR people will, what they will look? To motivate you, to give you inspiration, to do work with better mood than before, to be more productive, and to be happy while working also. That is a HR development department job. So all of you agree that the mood also is important. Suppose today you come to office in the morning and you had a good fight with your wife at home. Your work will affect, no? It will get affected. You cannot just deny that. It will get affected. Your child is sick, for example. He has slipped and he had a fracture and you have to take him to hospital and you got 1 hour late and you came. Baby is still in the hospital. He's admitted. However expert you are in your work, it will be affected. So mood is very important. How you work. And if you go behind that also, or subtler than that maybe, sukshma, that is a prayojan, that means why you are working. What motivates you to work? Not in this company or something. Essentially, why we are working. So anybody can give some glimpses why we are working. We all are intelligent, intellectual people. You can give few reasons. No, not that everybody has to give. Some people can.
Needs.
Yeah, you have needs. You have.
Dreams.
Whatever dreams. Yeah, one is basic needs that you need to maintain yourself and you need money for that. And second is dreams. What kind of dreams?
Where I want to go in future. So
yeah, you have some goal.
Passion.
You'd like to work only. That's a basic liking for work only is there. You like to work. Self-actualization. Can you define that a little bit more?
Okay.
Everybody may not be knowing what is self-actualization.
That is like it's a hierarchy, you know. You start with your basic needs. You start working to fulfill your basic needs. Once you keep on climbing the stretcher, it's like your basic needs are being fulfilled. Then ambitions come.
Maslow's hierarchy of
hierarchy.
Self-actualization.
And then the top is the self-actualization. When you are already earning very well, you are settled and all, then you start doing things to suffice yourself, do your dreams
and all. So these are,
we can never reach that.
Why you say like that?
Because the hunger will never.
No. Self-actualization is not hunger.
But we cannot reach that level of self-actualization.
You can reach. That's why we are discussing today. We think that we will only reach physical level, an emotional level, and monetary level, and social level, and then further it's very difficult to go beyond that. We have reached all the levels we think. But as the level of self-actualization is defined, it is achievable. It is not that it's simply theoretically existing there on top of the pyramid. It's not like that. So all of us have some prayojan, why we are working, what we are doing. And our motivation also creates our mood. Some are like scientists, and their motivation is that you have to find out something which they are looking for, the research. And then comes the physical work that you sit in the office for 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever. At home also you're meditating and working, following up. This is one level of understanding of work. Other reasons for work, right from base level to highest level. There are 4 levels. You must be knowing all this in management language, but still we'll repeat here. People work, some people work for fear sake. They're out of fear they work. Generally, the boss will punish you, or boss will cut your salary, or if you come 3 days late, then you get half CL deducted, something like that. So fear is a motivation to work in some people's cases. Second level of reason behind working is monetary gains, or some gain, not monetary necessarily, some fruit you can say, or reward. Right word is reward. So another people, let's set of people will work for reward. Yes, I need reward, so you work for reward. There's nothing wrong in that. Working for reward is not wrong. Then there is a little higher grade of people who work as a matter of duty. Because maybe fruit is assured, like you said, no? Physical things are assured, then you work for some other goals. But there are people who don't work necessarily for money or some reward, but they do work as a duty. I'll give an example. For example, you may not like your mother-in-law, but if your daughter-in-law, then you keep serving her. Yes, I'm married in this house. I may not like her, I may not get along with her, but as a daughter-in-law, as my husband's wife, she is his mother, so I need to take care of her. When she gets sick, I take her to hospital. When she's bedridden, I take care of her. This is higher than reward. You don't look for reward, but you do. Your conscious is very high. You're very conscientious in your approach. And you do things because you think it's my duty. I must do it. And the fourth level is you work out of love. For the sake of love, you work. Example is mother. Yeah? Mother is not having a job of 9 to 5. Mother is not having rewards. Mother doesn't have sick leaves and casual leaves and privileged leaves. Mother doesn't have any leave. Mother is simply on call 24/7 without any fruit. But what motivates her to go on and on for years after years after years? Some people have crippled babies, you know, handicapped babies. And what general mother will do for 2-3 years, they'll keep doing for 15, 20, 30 years also. Then they have to hire somebody to lift the baby. That means who is 30 year old now, handicapped baby. But they still keep working. They don't see when he will die and when I'll get free from this burden. Love is such a faculty that is the highest motivation is love for working. And if there is this highest motivation is there, then the work will be also continuous and eternal. Work will never end. There will be no boredom in the work. There will be no diversion in the work. There will be no growth in the work style also. Like we sometimes get promoted. No? You started as a clerk and then you ended up as a VP in the company. There is no promotion also. There is no, incentive also. Sometimes when the baby is handicapped, the baby one cannot say mommy, papa also. It's called profound cerebral palsy. In those cases, the baby cannot even respond as mother, mommy, papa also. Sometimes, you know, even when baby says mommy and papa to you, you feel satisfied. Ki, at least that baby responding to me as mommy and papa. Some call is there. But I have seen mothers whose babies are like vegetables. 15, 17, 18, 20, 25 years. There is not even a call also from baby's side. It's just service, service and service. But in that case, the love is something which is motivating. And love is such a faculty that you may get exhausted during the work. Sometimes you may get sick during doing the work. So much work is there that you may get sick. You may not get rest in between. You may not get rejuvenation. You may not get refreshment in between. You may not get sleep in between. You may get financially exhausted while serving, working. But still, at the cost of all these negative fruits, one you can say rewards, still love can make you work and go on work also. This is another level of understanding. So all of us need to define for ourselves what motivates me. Is it fear? Is it reward? Is it duty? Or is it love? Love is very, very rare nowadays because you don't love your boss or you don't love your company. I mean, you work in dedicated manner, sincerely, as a good employee. But not necessarily that you have to love the boss. But suppose, in olden days, I know, in my childhood, there were companies like Mufatlal and Birlas, and India's many, very famous families, where people would enter at 18 and get out at 60. And they really loved and adored their bosses. Like I know Arvind Mufatlal, who would put blankets on his shoulder and go barefoot in villages to distribute to those disaster-afflicted people. Maybe flood-afflicted people, maybe earthquake-afflicted people. He would go to and stay in the huts, and that would motivate their employees. And they also would put blankets and go behind him. And he was like a tireless person. He would get up at 4 in the morning in the middle of the cold, put up blankets on his shoulder and go and distribute blankets. And these people also will walk behind him. He will sleep on the floor, although he was a chairman of Mufatlal Group. So such people were there who would draw the love from employees. First respect and then love. And why respect would turn in love? Because he would go out of the way to serve their family members of the employees. He would send them medicines at times of need. He send them fees for the poor students. He will distribute clothes for needy people, other employees also. He will take care of mother's cancer treatment when mother of an employee has a cancer. So these kind of situations will motivate the employee to love the employer also. And then they would stand for the employer's daughter's marriage for 7 days, 24/7, without expecting anything in return. Then my boss will give me some increment or something. Just out of love they will work. And even in today's world, these things are not impossible. No? Please understand. These are not theory now anymore. This is still practically possible if we behave like those leaders, those employers in the past. But mostly people can reach up to duty level today. Because they may not love their boss and they may still sincerely work as per their work demands. Now let us go to a scenario of Bhagavad Gita. There is a hard worker, person called Arjun. How much hard he has worked, you know? At times he has worked overnight, 24/7. He came to know that his guru Dronacharya is teaching some special tricks of martial arts, Kshatriya, Dharma, some weaponry, something very special in the night to his son Ashwatthama. He came to know that. So he kept awake and he followed his guru's son and he said, I also want to learn that. Looking at his determination and dedication, he also taught him all those things which he taught his son also. But still, Arjun was Arjun. He would practice day and night. When everybody go to sleep, after training hours are over, Arjun will still practice. And that motivated his guru to give him much more than anybody else. Special tricks he learnt. Almost he became equal to his guru in his skills. Now that person won many wars. We know in Mahabharata we read so many wars, small, big, here and there he won. And his biggest war in life came. What was that war? Mahabharata war. In that war, the world divided into two parties. There was nobody neutral except Balramji. Balramji went on pilgrimage. But everybody else either chose this side or that side. That means it's the biggest war. You have to win. And he was standing in the war and he told Krishna that, please take me in between. Because he also did not know finally who has taken which side. His mama came from Madras, Madhra Raj Shalya. He came from Madras province and in between Duryodhan captured him. You know the story? Duryodhan just received him at one place and served him so nicely. It's so nice atithya, guest reception. And then he tricked him to take his side. And then finally he had to agree with him and he came to Arjun and he said, Beta, I am sorry that I was tricked in between. So Krishna said, don't worry. You can become the charioteer. Whenever you become charioteer of Arjun, Karna, you keep calling him Sutputra, Sutputra, Sutputra. You demoralize him by constantly addressing him as Sutaputra, that is the son of a Shudra or Sarathi. Anyway, so many people had been tricked by him like that. And in our politics also we see, last moment who is in which party, you only forget. We also have to ask, now sir, which party you are in? So many things have been changing, so many times happens. So Arjun wanted to know, on the final day of the battle, today is the day of the battle, Suryodaya has already been happening, I want to know who is on which side, so I can accordingly start my war. And then he saw that everybody on both sides was relative only. Uncles, uncles and maternal uncles and paternal uncles and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and gurus, and name in-laws, everybody was there, all relatives only. Most of them were relatives and they were there standing for war. So he just lost his whole composure to fight only. Then what happened? There is a sloka in Bhagavad Gita which says that his hairs stood on end, his body started burning. The famous Gandiva bow that he was so proud of and people were worried of, they started slipping from his hand. And he could not stand also. He's all, in medical language you say, he got completely, almost paralyzed. All his tone of the muscles completely became hypotonic. He just couldn't stand only. Like we are sitting now standing because we have some tone in the body. He's maintaining our position. He couldn't even maintain his position in the chariot. He just sat down. Dropped his bow and arrow and sat down. Yeah, I just cannot fight. I don't want to fight. And I will better go and become a beggar in the forest with a bowl rather than fighting with these people and winning the kingdom. And when if I kill them and become a king, then who will I enjoy with? You need people not to enjoy. You can't stay in a 550 rooms palace alone. You need wife, husband, children, friend and some acquaintances to enjoy your wealth also. He said, I'll win this war after killing all my relatives and whom will I enjoy with? So he gave many so-called legitimate reasons, but he lost all the motivation to fight. Now why I give this example to you? Here is a person who is an expert worker, highly skilled, highly renowned, highly successful. What do you see in your employing, while employing an employee? You see all this experience and education and some psychometric test you do and you see his motivation, personality, inclinations, psychological any deficiencies or benefits that he has. Here is a person, the best candidate, but has he not become useless for some time in between? What has gone wrong? Something called frustration has come in between. And that frustration has rendered him from the best result giver to the zero result giver. Now the war can also end there. Dhritarashtra was very happy. His television man is telling him, ki Arjun to baith gaya abhi. He said, very good. My son can win in for one day only. There is no need of war only. The main warrior has sat down. And then, after long discussion in the first chapter, only Arjun is speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. And Krishna is smiling. And at one point, Arjun says that, now I have given you my reasons, but now I am confused myself only. I don't know which is right, which is wrong, what reasons I gave you was right or wrong. Now I am frustrated. And now enough of this friendship relationship between you and me. Now I become your disciple, you become my guru, and please guide me. What is to be done? Shishyasteham syadi mam tram prapanyam. I surrender to you and you accept me as your disciple and guide me. Now whatever reasons also I gave, I forgot because I don't know are they right or wrong. Is it legitimate or not legitimate? And then Krishna smiled and he started speaking. And he spoke many things. Of course, we are not here to discuss full Gita. But essentially, that man who had lost all motivation, all composure, and so-called all skills also apparently he lost for a time being, sat down as a useless person, and everything would have turned completely in a different direction, what was expected from him. And then somebody spoke to him, for it is said that about 45 minutes he spoke, because in the middle of the warfare you can't have 7-day seminar. Everybody is standing with weapon ready. It's a matter of only blowing conch shell. They will start shooting. There's so much ready. Just waiting for the orders to start. So it is said something like that. Maybe a short period. It may not be exactly in minutes. But in short period, Lord Krishna gave him that knowledge which was absolutely essential with no much elaboration. Just to the point. Like in exam, mein kaise hota hai? Last moment you read only points. 10 points. Symptoms of liver cirrhosis. 10. Treatment modalities, 10. Investigations, 5. Like this. 5 signs of heart failure. CLASP. CLASP. Just that's what you study in last day. So like that he was given a synopsis, you know. A synopsis of study, what is required. And what happened? He said, my hair is standing on end, my skin is burning, my muscles are weak, I am falling down, my Gandiva bow and arrow are falling down. And he says, Karishye Vachanam Tava. At the end of 700 shlokas, he says, Nashta Moho Smitir Labdhva Karishye Vachanam Tava. Now my illusion has gone. My memory has come back of the knowledge. And now I promise you, I will do whatever you say. Before that, he was saying, I will not do. I will not work. And now he is saying, I will do whatever you say. So what has changed in between? The lost reason for fighting was given back to him in a new fashion. he was working, was going to work in the war, rather than fighting in the war, for his own purposes. There were many purposes. Draupadi was always standing with loose hair and always pointing, look at this, don't forget this. My loose hair, don't forget this. I have not tied them because I have taken a vow that I will tie them with the blood of Dushyasan who has tried to disrobe me. There is one reason of revenge. Then they were deprived of their rights. Right from childhood they were, you know, manipulated and or cunningly manipulated. They had gone through exiles. You know, kingly men who were worthy of becoming kings from right from birth only. But they had walked barefoot in the forest eating dried berries and fruits and fruits. So much of demoralization, insult and demotivation, differentiation, different kind of treatments were given to them. There were umpteen number of reasons. Bhima has his own reasons because he thought that Duryodhan always had political tricks against me, wanted to kill me with various means, sometimes individual, sometimes collective. They wanted to kill us with so many things. So Arjun and others, here Arjun is subject matter for the Bhagavad Gita, so he had also his own reasons why he was fighting. But all the reasons of his fighting, of his working, were related to himself only. We can call it a swarth, or his own selfish reasons. What did Krishna do when he told Bhagavad Gita? He brought him up from his own level to the universal level, or we call in our spiritual language transcendental level, beyond one's own selfish level. He gave him a comprehensive understanding of why he was fighting and why he should be fighting. And after that, he did many things where questions were asked, but he still did those things although he was not very convinced of. For example, when Karna was about to be killed, Arjun didn't want to kill him actually. He said, okay, no, he's not on the chariot. He's off the chariot, plus chariot is underground. He is not with weapons. So I cannot kill him. This is the rule of the battle. Krishna said, kill him right now. And then there was some little argument. And finally he killed him. So many occasions came like this where even though he said, I will do whatever you say, whenever he said to do, he told him to do, he had some arguments. And then he still did it actually. So he went beyond his understanding of duty. He went beyond his understanding of why he was fighting. And he fought for the higher reason than what he thought earlier. And that reason was, Arjun, Krishna said, Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Remember me and fight for me. Don't fight for your own reasons. So all of us basically are working for our own reasons. I need monetary gains, I need promotion, I need increments, or I need growth, I need achievements. Higher targets are there in my life, goals are there, beyond money and beyond some monetary gains. But there is something called working for others. That is called working as sacrifice. And most of us are working for ourselves, but given knowledge and understanding, we also can, in this given situation of our life, can work for others. And when you work for others, it's not that you are going to starve or you are going to be deprived of what your legitimate rights are and gains are. And the higher than that working for others is working for the Lord, working for the cause of the Lord, who has made us, who has brought us, who has raised us, who supplied us with provisions from nature, and working for Him. It's like all comprehensive reason and motivation for working. And that is what is our life is all about. We are told to speak about art of working. He says, work done as a sacrifice will please me, the Lord says. Now we can start from discussing whether the Lord is there or not there. But if we accept the presence of the Lord, then method to realize Him, self-actualization, is also termed in our spiritual language as self-realization. Knowing who we are. I may work as a husband. I may work as a father. Tomorrow I may work as grandfather. Or I may work as a son. There are so many roles I work for. So many reasons and so many roles I work. But beyond that, beyond my being son or father or grandfather or mother, whatever reasons, uncle, grand cousins, or whatever you say. I am a living entity which is different from this body. How many of you agree with this? Are you different from your body or you are the body? We say my ears, my eyes, my nose, my hand, my brain, my intelligence. So always things are yours and you own those things. That's why you say it's my intelligence. Some things we see, like body, my hand, or eyes and my spectacles, my hair. And some things I don't see, but still I call them as my mind, my intelligence, my ego, or my house, my country, my caste, my religion, like that. Beyond all this, the I exists. Do you agree with me that? And that I is different from the body. The I is a person who feels, one who motivates, one who is a motivator, because of whom the work is done, right? When you are motivated, you use your hands and brain and nose and eyes and intelligence to get the success. So when you know actually who you are, your performance increases. Some people may not know in your office that, oh, she is a good singer. You may not know that. But one fine day, she sings and you come to know, oh, she is a good singer. And then in all next parties, then she is always singing. So she was not knowing that she is a good singer, but somehow she has come to understanding that she is a good singer. Before marriage, many girls don't know that they are good cooks. But after marriage, when the opportunity comes, when the environment comes, they really cook very good. And mothers are surprised how she never cooked even Indian map she would make out when she would roll chapatis. Different countries' maps were there at home. Now she is such an expert person. So knowing who you are, understanding who you are and realizing the potential that is within. And that highest potential is available when you know that you are soul. Beyond your temporary designations. Because all that I said, son and grandfather and uncle, and everything is all changing designation. They are not there at times, they come in some time and they disappear after some time also. You are an employee at this time and after 75 years you are not an employee anymore. You are a retired person, you are an old man, one day you become dying man, one day you become sick man. So these things change, nothing remains constant. Our performance at our work will be at the superlative stage if we identify our permanent identification, permanent identity. If we come to know who we are permanently, unchanging identity, which will remain same in all conditions of life, right from my birth till my departure, that identity will not change. If that identity, on that platform of that identity you work, then your performance will be superlative. How many of you agree with this? Or if there is an argument, you can tell me. Because as you come to permanency of your identity, you can perform stably. Is it true? Today I am a son, and tomorrow I get married, I become husband. And then I give birth to a child, I become father. But when I was unmarried, I was not a father. So it's a new identity. And one day my son will be existing in the world, but I lose my position as a father. He just gives up and he goes abroad and disconnects with me. So I'm a father, but I'm not a father. So you will not be happy in those identities and working on the platform of those identities which are changing, which are not fulfilling to you, which are not going to give satisfaction to you. That is why we need to know who permanently we are. It's a need of our own success. If you want to be successful, then we need to know permanently who I am. And temporarily, I may be many things. And that's what our science of spirituality tells us. In the beginning only, Sri Krishna first told Arjuna who you are. He was his cousin, he was his warrior friend, he was his general friend also. There were so many relationships he had. But still, Krishna had to tell him who he is. What he told? Mamai Vansho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. You are eternal part of the Supreme. You think today you are son of this person and grandson of this person and husband of this person and king-like person of so many communities. But originally you are this. And with the original identity as this, as the part and parcel of the Lord, all the other identities are based upon. And from there he began. Then he talked about karma. And what he said about karma, that today we are talking about work. Karmanne va adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. A famous shloka, everybody, even child in India will repeat this without knowing the meaning, of course. But karmanne va adhikaraste, everybody has right to work and everybody will work. But one doesn't have right over the fruits. Because you know, so many people are equally qualified, equally experienced in good companies, but still everybody is differently positioned. Because the fruit is not in our hand. Sometimes we control, we think we control the fruits, and we are also monitoring or manipulating or maneuvering the results. But still we fail and we differ sometimes. Our promotions change, our increments change, our KRA performance appraisals change. Whatever you have here, KRA systems, yeah. So we are told that we work and we should work sincerely. But fruits are not going to be guaranteed equally for equally qualified people. Things are different. Some people are highly intelligent, worked very hard, but somehow lost admission by 2 marks. And somebody who did not work so hard but got admission and went ahead, and now he is in USA doing MS. There's so many things are there, so many stories. My school, college days are there. And third thing is said, Ma kalma phara heturbhur, ma to sangasva akarmani. Do not give up work because of fruits are changing. Sometimes fruits are changing, you are demotivated. Your motivation only is lost. So he said that even if fruits change, do not demotivate yourself, keep working as a duty. And do not give up working itself for any reason. Keep working. There are 4 aspects of this shloka. We only know 1 aspect. Fruits ki apeksha mat karo, phal ki apeksha mat karo. But Lord has guided Arjun that even though there is no fruit, you have to keep working. This is the nature of you. You cannot not work. He says those people who don't light fire, that means don't work for their maintenance. That is the meaning of lighting fire. That means cooking food. He says he is not a yogi who is not lighting fire. That means who doesn't work. Because even if a yogi, a renounced man, working as a renunciant in forest of Himalayas, he also has to eat something and go to pass urine and stool and sleep in the middle of the night for some hours at least. Even though, although a highest kind of yogi he is, maybe once in 3 days he has to sleep for 1 hour if he is the highest kind of yogi. But the bodily prapancha is applicable to him. My Guruji one time was in Himalayas and whole day he was meditating. And one fruit vendor will give him 1 carrot and Gangajal, that he will pick up himself Gangajal in a pot or in a hand. And the carrot fellow will give 1 carrot to him, and for 1 whole month, 1 carrot he ate. But 1 carrot was required to survive. He couldn't have not eaten anything. And he would sleep maybe very less number of hours in the cave, in the forest, in Himalayas. But prapancha is there, work is also there. Lot of time you spend in meditation, but some work is there to maintain yourself, to clean yourself, to take bath. So work cannot be given up completely. So Lord said that even though there is no motivation, you have to keep working. That is your nature, that is your innate nature, ungivable nature. You cannot give it up, unrenounceable nature. But then he explained him various yogas. First he explained karma yoga. Then he explained jnana yoga, knowledge. Then he explained karma sannyas yoga. Then he explained dhyana yoga. Then he explained many, many yogas. Gita is full of yogas only. Chapters also named as yogas. And finally he said what? Yoginam api sarvesham madgati antaratmana. Out of all these yogis who are trying to unite with the Supreme, those who are uniting, trying to unite with Him in love and devotion are the highest. Yoginam api sarvesham madgati antaratmana. But that time he was acting as Lord. He had to tell Arjun, I am your friend, but I am actually the Lord. And then he showed his Virat Rupa also. And he said, everybody is trying to connect me with various ways. But those who connect with me with love and devotion, they are the highest. When that was told, he became the highest performer. He went beyond his selfish motivations and he worked. And what happened? While he worked beyond his selfish motivations, all his selfish motivations were also fulfilled. That is a very interesting part. If he would have worked only for selfish motivation, maybe they would have been fulfilled. Definitely, because we are very efficient kind of skillful worker. He was not an ordinary person. He had all the skills to achieve his targets, whatever he was working for. But he achieved much, much more than that. And also those things which he was initially desiring. That is the beauty of this bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga includes karma, bhakti yoga includes jnana, bhakti yoga includes renunciation, and bhakti yoga includes highest union with the Lord also. And when one is highest in a united with the Lord in the highest platform, his performance becomes best. Because he is in connection or in union with his source, from where he came, from where he drew his skills, from where he drew his strengths, from where he developed his strengths, what gave him avenues or facilities to grow, to that source he connects himself, so he has to perform best. So Bhagavad Gita is science of life. It's not just science of Hindus or science of some religious people or science of some believers. It's science of life because it connects you to your source. And even if somebody is materially motivated, it is very good for him because he can perform his best. Most important thing which happens when one is united with the Lord, he doesn't get frustrated very easily. That is the Abhi, all of us are worried, na? If at one point of life of my career I may get frustrated. Because of various reasons, because of my lack of support of my colleagues, because of my boss's cynical attitude to me, because of my mother's sickness, because of my husband's job, because of my children's career. There are so many factors which can play on you. And still you have to work. And still you have to perform. Because if you don't perform, then your other things will suffer in life. So you have to keep working. So majority people have question, how to not get demotivated with negative happenings around you? How to not get frustrated although things are happening against your will? And many seminars are conducted and many things are, conferences are conducted and many workshops are conducted. How to motivate oneself, how to keep oneself motivated in the highest manner. But if you are connected to the source, and you are equipped with transcendental knowledge about yourself and the reality of life, then you will get an art of not getting demotivated and frustrated. Although things are happening exactly, it can frustrate you. I hope all of you will like that situation. Then nothing disturbs you. And that nothing disturbs you is not unachievable situation. It is possible. Like for you, if I say you will become a doctor now, so you will say impossible. Because already you are grown up and maybe beyond your age and already you are educated yourself, you are in different field now. But when you want to achieve something in life, I know people who have changed their branches and straight gone to some... I am working in hospice. I got trained myself in hospice, palliative care for dying people care. And the person who founded palliative care, that means the care for dying people who are terminally ill, she was a nurse before. Then she became doctor. After becoming a general doctor, MD, she became a specialized person in dying people's care. She was the one who developed that subject. And she did what she wanted to do. She was highly motivated because she was deeply pained to see the pain of people who are in last stage of life. Where medicine also is giving them up. Medical people are saying, take home, now pray to God. That motivated her. So point I'm trying to convey to you is that when we connect ourselves to our source and we are equipped with the knowledge of ourself, who we are, who is God, what is my relationship with Him, what is my duty to Him, how do I connect with Him, and then how do I perform, your whole perspective of life will change. Your whole goal of life will change. Your goal of work will change. Your motivations will change. And that does not mean that you become useless defunct person in the work. Many people think that, oh, there was some doctor in my hospital. He was very highly convinced of what we are doing in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. But he would never participate in any functions. So one of his colleagues privately asked him, sir, you are so religious and so convinced, but why don't you participate and become an active participant of spiritual activities? So he said, mujhe bahut dar lagta hai. If I become a devotee as such, quote unquote, I will lose my passion to work. I will lose my passion to grow in my field. I will lose my passion to whatever goals I had. For all this, I will lose. But that is a complete misunderstanding. By becoming a spiritualist or a spiritual practitioner, one doesn't become falsely renounced. In fact, Arjuna wanted to falsely renounce and go to forest and beg instead of fighting the war. Krishna said, no, you have to fight. You cannot give up your duty and do somebody else's duty. You are not by nature a sannyasi or renunciant. You are by nature a warrior. And you have to do your duty. You have to fight for the higher cause. Don't fight for yourself. Fight for dharma. Fight for establishing the truth. And fight for establishing the righteousness. And defeat the unrighteousness which is Kauravas are exhibiting. You establish righteousness. For that you fight. So how he fought? Was there any lack of skills in his fight? He shot wrong arrows when he fought with Karna. He shot wrong arrows when he fought with Bhishma Dev. He fought wrong arrows when he fought with Dronacharya. In fact, he had a very difficult war actually. Extremely difficult war for which only he was trying to run away. I can't fight my grandfather, great grandfather. I can't fight my guru. I can't fight my brother. I can't fight so many people. But then he fought with all those people only. He was not given discount ki, okay, these people we don't ask you to fight with, you fight with these people. We'll manage them separately. No, he had to fight the same war. The same challenges which were demotivating him. But he fought so excellently. So does it give us an understanding impression that he became disinterested in his work? His highly skilled performance went to B grade from A plus. Has it happened like that? No. He won the war very gloriously. And he did not attach that work to his personal goals which he had earlier also. Still he was successful. And he was glorified as the best warrior and he won the war with his brothers. He became the king of the world. So we should not think that when we become spiritualist, we'll become less performing, less interested. My wife will think, oh, is he interested in family life or not anymore? Or he will look after my children or not? Or whether he will give fees for my children's higher education before. Earlier days in marriage, we send our children to USA. Now he's become spiritualist. Will he send my children to USA for higher education or not? All these worries come in the family when you become a spiritualist. When I became a spiritualist, the worry of my in-laws were that, now will I marry my fiancé? The first worry came to my mind, their mind is, will he marry my daughter now? He was so highly motivated to marry her. But I married her and I led a very happy life. I am still living a very happy life. They all felt that by becoming spiritualist, will he be able to do his duties nicely or will he be totally detached, he will not be bothered about everybody, he will not take care of them. Will he just feed them properly or will he be lost in his spirituality only? No. Yogaha karmasu kaushalam. Again, one verse of yoga. Yoga means uniting with the Lord. Becoming a spiritualist. What happens by uniting with the Lord? Karmasu kaushalam. You become expert in your karma, in your activities. Because your prayojana, the reason for your working, is the highest. Because the reason is highest and you are fully equipped with knowledge, your motivation, your mood is also highest. And that's why naturally, who is the best performer in the company? Who is having highest of goals and who is in a correct mood of motivation to work? Then you don't have to tell him, come at 8 o'clock sharp and don't go in 5 o'clock, complete your work and go at 8 o'clock. No, he will sit there till his own work is not over. You don't have to motivate him further. He is already motivated. So that's what happened with Arjun, who was demotivated, was frustrated, who heard from Sri Krishna the transcendental knowledge. He became the best performer. Nobody could stand in front of him. Although he had won many wars before, this war was different. And he still performed A plus in that. At times, there was some difficulty here and there. Krishna gave him more knowledge that time also. Is that right? When Abhimanyu died, what happened? The greatest thing what we have to learn is, Abhimanyu died and Arjuna cried for the whole night. Because he was an affectionate father. He cried for the whole night. But next day when the conch shell was blown, he was on the chariot again. He didn't say casual leave. Because my son is died, I am not motivated enough. That is what happens to a person. He did his duty of expressing his sorrow and expressing his sorrow as father. He was really very upset and very sad. But next day he was on chariot again. He didn't say, Krishna, I can't fight. I retire from this point onwards. I just cannot take my son's death. So like this, changes happen in us when we are highly motivated. These things are very disturbing when son died in the battlefield. But that did not demotivate him from going to the war next day. That means for in our language, going on duty next day. He was highly motivated from the highest point of view of self-realization level. So to summarize our talk, we need to define the prayojan, the reason for which we are working. Then with that reason, we need to equip ourselves with knowledge which will keep our mood always at higher level, highest level. And then we don't have to bother about the performance physical level. It will automatically happen. All of us need to work on the prayojana. Why we are working, what we are working. If that one becomes clear, then your performance has to be good. And when the performance, the prayojan is at the highest level, then even so-called disturbances in family and your life and calamities will not deviate you or demotivate you or make you less functional than before. And I think all of us will like to be always remaining in a highly motivated situation. All of us will like, isn't that true? Maybe as a mother, maybe as a worker, maybe as any roles, if we are assured that I am assured now that I will be highly motivated in all my life for my work, all of us will like it very much. Because that will never give you depression if you are highly motivated. If you are highly motivated and you are selfishly inclined, then there may be failures may depress you. And you may just sit down at home and become defunct, become useless. What is depression ultimately? Depression is highly motivated selfish plan. When it fails by the nature of the world, we get depressed. But in spirituality, we are trained not to get depressed. Because we know that the world we are living in will give you setbacks. And we are prepared before only. What do you expect from the world? World will give you failures, world will give frustration, world will give high rains, no rains, world will give so many things, natural calamities, interpersonal calamities, family calamities, financial calamities. The world is designed by the Lord. The reality is like that. And if you know it beforehand, then you can face it better. The question paper of medicine in final MBBS will have 4-5 tough questions, unexpected questions. You are fully prepared for that, then you can perform well. You will not get shocked. Oh, I didn't expect this question to come. But a well-prepared student will know ki difficult also will come, unexpected will come. I will study everything in comprehensive manner. And then he will, even though difficult googly question comes, he will perform better. Hare Krishna. Now if there are any questions, any comments, I will like to answer within my limited capacity. As an employer, I will tell you very frankly, not personally, but very frankly. As an employer, the employer has to be very caring to the employees as a family member. As father would take care of his family members. That kind of affection and caring should be felt by the employees. That is the topmost motivator. And then you have to give positive hopes and positive courage to your employees in such a way that you have to assure them, even if you fail, don't worry, you try your best. I am with you. What is the fear in employees? I may fail and my employer may reject me. After he does everything and I fail, then naturally he will reject me or throw me out. But suppose you give assurance that you try your best, we'll support you, and even if you fail, don't worry, we will change your job or something we'll do for you. But don't worry that we will reject you, or don't have that fear in mind. Will that motivate the employee? Once the fear is gone, then they will...
That is what I've been doing. I have a lot of care. They are sitting here. I take a lot of care. And, you know, I have confidence. They are my family member. Undoubtedly. But then what I see is there are few employees who are, you know, who do not gauge with care, love and affection. They gauge only by monetary terms or designation terms. There it becomes very difficult to...
When I define those four categories, people work out of fear. You will not find... Everybody in every category. There will be some people in fear category, some people will be in monetary category, some people will be in duty category, and some people will be highly motivated, committed category. And as a owner or as a leader of the company, you need to identify intelligently who is in which category and accordingly motivate them. Because like in my house, suppose I have two ladies to work. Our scriptures tell us that to those people who are like workers at home, what motivates them is food and money and clothing. So you may not get anything else. Give food, clothing and money, they will be highly motivated. They will keep working for you. But you can't do the same tricks with everybody else who works for you. So as an employer, as an owner, you need to understand in 80 and 200 number of employees, who are in which category and work on them separately. And those few people who are in that love, may not be actual love, but highly motivated, highly committed category, when you work on with them, they will motivate everybody else on different levels. Then those who are in duty bound situations, very sincere workers, very hard workers, no need to ask them again and again, no need to push them again and again, treat them in a different manner. And those who are monetarily motivated, treat them differently. Those who are fear motivated, treat them differently. This is the practical administration. Because you cannot bring a fear motivated person to love motivation. You can, theoretically you can, but it's very difficult. Because how you can do that? By giving this knowledge. I guarantee you, not because I am the follower or I am practicing, I guarantee you the science of Bhagavad Gita is so practical, so day-to-day life oriented, that you get answers of all your day-to-day problem also in Bhagavad Gita. This is my experience. So once we discuss these things regularly as a part of our curriculum, like in our Bhaktivedanta Hospital, as a part of our job, we have on-duty spiritual programs. We call spiritual care programs. And in that we discuss all these things. When we discuss with housekeeping category, different language. Discuss with doctors with different language use. Different with head nurses, different language use. Same philosophy is taught to them. And when that knowledge is fit here, then whole scenario changes. Their behavior with patient changes. Their whole attitude to work changes. They are uplifted by the knowledge. So we have to also uplift our employees through life sciences, that science of life, then science of work and performance also. Give them what is necessary, training, outside the company required, in-house training, outside our conferences. And that's why HRD is there. Why HRD is there? HRD is what actually spiritualists do in spiritual life. The sadhus come and motivate the kings and give them higher knowledge to inspire them. And the HRD people come and motivate you to perform and realize your potentials, encourage you to perform. We have to do all kinds of things. But never give up. Never give up on anybody. No human being is in a situation that you can give him up on him. That's one principle that we have learned in spirituality. Because some people who are utter failures, after motivating them, they become great success in other fields, other places. In my office also, one person was in administration. And all time, you know, keeping the schedules of bosses and typing letters and submitting in time and corrections and proofreading and this and that. He was telling me again and again, sir, I want to come to spiritual care department. I like motivating people. And we were thinking, you are not working there properly and giving good results over there. I don't want to carry a burden in my department. Like I was thinking like that. But one day, we took a joint decision and took him in my department. And believe me, from day one, he is like star performer in my department. Because he found his place. As soon as he found his place, he started performing. Now there is no motivation, no reprimanding, no calling in office and giving him whatever. Nothing. So, what is employer job? Employer job is identifying and putting people in their place. And once they are in their place, they perform unbelievably. Now, today I don't have to see what this guy is doing. He is always doing something which is unbelievable. Because he is so highly motivated now. He feels that he was cut for this actually. And now he is performing. And so HR people, they should be spiritualists actually. Because spiritualists are people who know exactly where the potential is and how to utilize that.
This is for you only. She is the HR head.
What do HR people do? They go within the self and take out the best of the self from all the muck that is around. And what does spirituality do? Same thing. Arjuna is depressed. He is the greatest warrior and the champion. Bowman is sitting down and saying, I don't want to fight. And the spiritualist went and did such counseling that he got up again. He picked up his bow and arrow. He said, tell me now where to shoot. I'm ready to shoot. And he shot. And he won the war. And he was by the side of him always. Whenever there was a little query, he was immediately giving him more knowledge. Like what knowledge he gave while he was killing Karna? He was saying, no, I will not kill him because he's underground and he's this and he's without weapon. He said, have you forgotten? He called your wife prostitute. He supported disrobing. He did this, he did that, he did this, did that. And slowly he rose as he was counting 1 to 10. He was raising and he shot the Vaijayanti Astra and he killed him. So Krishna used right situations at right time to motivate to get his work done. He knew if this Karna would be alive, then Pandavas all will be killed one day. Because he was so powerful. So with a Vahuka Kruk, if you don't kill him now, you will not be able to kill him. So for that, all rules and regulations he had to put aside. All the rules of war also he had to keep aside. And do the needful from the highest point of view. He was not a personal enemy of Karna. He wanted to establish truth and he knew this man is in between the establishment of truth. So he had to eliminate him. So although whole world even today blames Krishna ki cheating kiya Krishna ne wo Karna ko maar ke cheating kiya, but he didn't bother for that. So Krishna gave him right knowledge at even in between also constantly. When time came to kill Bhishma, today morning I was telling story, when time came 9 days, you can imagine 9 days Bhishma had wiped up half the army of Arjun and they were wondering if he continues like that, finished we are. So Krishna said, see, this Bhishma has to be taken out. He has to be eliminated. And they were like shocked. They couldn't bear the thought. But then he had to wait for some time till they digested. After many hours, they came to terms that, yes, we think that we need to eliminate Bhishma. Then they asked, so what to do? He said, you have to go and ask him how to kill him. Another shock. How to ask our grandfather? But then they were again, we waited and he again convinced. Waited for all time, patiently waited. Then they went and asked him. And then they executed that. Because they were always motivated for the higher cause than their family relationships and their ties and emotional ties. So it was not an easy war for Arjun. There were so many big challenges. We cannot imagine those challenges that Arjuna went through. But Krishna was right next to him to motivate him in all difficult times. And he was successful. We also will be successful in all those challenging situations if we keep Krishna by our side. Refer constantly and get guidance. I do that. Don't think that we don't have lows and highs in life. We are also human beings. We are like everybody else. All of us are same. We have emotions, we have family, we have challenges, we have setbacks, we have failures. Everything is there. But constant union with the Supreme is our asset. And I can't say that I'm successful in fully uniting, but we are in the process of fully uniting. We are trying our best every single day. Like every single day in the war also, Bhishmadev was every day in the morning, early dawn time, meditating on the Supreme. He didn't say it's war time, so how can I meditate? It's not meditation time. No. Because I'm soul, every day he was meditating and praying to the Lord and doing his snan in Ganga and worshipping. And then after, at sunrise time, when the conch shell, he only will blow and he'll join the war. But before sunrise, he was doing his spiritual strengthening work. And we all need to do spiritual strengthening work every day if you have to be successful all days, all life, all throughout your life. Because as a leader in the family, as a leader in the company, as maybe HR in charge, as a finance in charge, you cannot be morose and depressed in front of your employees. You have to be appearing shining and enthusiastic and full of motivation. Maybe war is going on in your mind, but you have to be daring enough to put a very happy demeanor. From where the strength will come? Strength will come by spiritual practice, by strengthening your soul with spirituality in the practices. And there are methods by which we draw the strength when we are down. When to increase the dose, doctors know, na? When to increase the dose of medicine and duration of medicine. When to change the medicine. The same thing applies to spirituality also. Same thing applies to life also. Starting is this desire. That's called mumukshu. Mumukshu means one who desires to know. Desire to know, who am I? So with that, once you desire, then the beginning of practice of spirituality is to chant. To chant the holy name of the Lord. This is how we begin. And when that happens, then natural cleansing within takes place. And what do we get cleansed of? We get cleansed of the tendency of getting frustrated, tendency to get depressed, tendency to get angry, tendency to get highly, volatile. This is our problem, na? Udveg, chinta, pida, yatana. This is our difficulty. We know ki I should be angry now, but I'm getting angry. I'm getting out of control. I know I should not be depressed now, but I'm getting depressed. So that strength you will get from within to fight these inner battles. And still keep doing your work. This cleansing process is very important. It is difficult. Like when you clean your house, all the dust goes in your nose and you get dirty also. But one day comes that everything is clean. You also take bath and now everything is clean. But the process is a little difficult. But you keep doing the process. So chanting is that process. Cheto darpana marajanam. This is how we begin. In short, your answer is, we begin with cleansing process. By humbling ourselves, yes, I need cleaning. I need to get over this overwhelming emotions in my life, which affect me, affect my performances. I shouldn't have said that which I said. I shouldn't have done that which I did. But now I cannot revert the whole scene. I cannot rewind the whole life scene. But then with this practice, you will gradually get over those things and you will come to know yourself. Yes, there is a change. And that change will motivate you to further strengthen your cleansing process. And then all rules come, regulations come. Then satsang comes, everything comes, it follows. Like first thing what you do, you put your child in a play school. You don't learn anything there. You just learn going to school. They only make you play, dance, jump here, there, some rhymes here and there. But actually, there's no learning. But what do you learn? A habit of going to school every day without rhyme. And liking to be there for 2 hours. Then next year there is junior KG and some things. 1, 2, 3, 4, something is there. So like that, initially you just practice for doing sake. I need to practice something spiritually. And then you will develop taste. And then you will get more and more taste. And like it very much. That's how I began. And I can tell you there is unlimited taste in this. You ask I ask you one question. What motivates me to come and speak to you here? I have enough work. But what motivates me to come and spend time with you here in Kolkata from Bombay is the joy that we have received by practicing all these things. It cannot be kept within ourselves. It has to be shared. If I get 1 crore rupees lottery, I will not tell anybody. Except maybe wife or somebody, and you know, invest it quietly and not tell anybody. Maybe robbers will come and rob me or something. But if I get spiritual happiness, I cannot keep it to myself. I have to tell others. This is how it is. Kharcha na chute, chor na lute, aur din din badhat jaye. This is spiritual wealth. Nobody can steal it. It will increase day by day, and nobody can steal it. And kharcha na chute, chor na lute, din din badhat jaye. It will not be exhausted with time. You have 10 rupees, you spend 5 rupees, 5 rupees will remain. And the 5 rupees will spend, it will be over. This will not be over. It will always be there. It will keep on increasing. And nobody can steal it from you, what your wealth is. That's the wealth within, which you have to develop. When wealth within is developed, all the wealth that you require without is available for you. Because you have the right substrate within to get the wealth from outside. Any question? So begin it with boldness. Okay, you have a mobile? You have mobile, right? Every day what you do before coming to office? You charge the mobile.
No, I do it at night.
Yeah, but you charge, no?
Yeah.
Whether you do overnight or whether you do before, but this will work only when charging, no? Whatever 1.5 lakh worth mobile you buy, it requires charging every day, right? My recorder, I am recording here, I have to keep batteries, look at the dandis there, kitna bacha hai, and I have to keep charging it. Otherwise, it will not function. So, like that, today what you are doing is only discharging. And in a discharge condition, it will not be hearing properly, the signal will be poor, other person can't hear properly. And you are still trying to talk on the phone which is discharged. The person is telling, I can't hear you, voice is breaking, but still he is trying to talk. So, what will happen? No good performance will come. Till you charge the mobile again, it will not be performing nicely. So what we require in the, especially in HR, where higher motivating function is there, you have to motivate others and keep yourself also motivating yourself. Charging is important. That's why now all the Westerners are doing yoga and pranayama and deep breathing and this exercise, that exercise. Why they are doing? Because they have finally come to understanding that this is something called as condemned Indian science is now very valuable. So whole world is adopting yoga now. When some people are making religious issue also, we can't practice all these things. But now the whole world is accepted that this is important. Even to perform in my company, I have to do meditation. And now in seminars of HR, meditation has come as part. And they practice meditation workshop in the 3-day seminar, which was unheard of before. Why? That is recharging yourself. Recharging and reconciling within yourself. You have got a trauma yesterday. You have to recharge, no? You have to reconcile yourself. You cannot just come without reconciling, sit on the job and expect performance. So answer is that, do something when you get discharged. And that is what meditation is all about. Yoga is all about. Making yourself peaceful, sitting quietly in one place, controlling your breathing in a rhythmic fashion. Then you can face the same realities. What happens when you get angry? You are breathing heavily and your heartbeat also is going haywire. You sit down. Even if you count 10, 9 and 8 like that backwards also, gradually you settle down. And the same situation which make you angry, you think in different direction. Is it not true? My greatest friend who is the director of the hospital, he always told right from our college days together, jab gussa aata hai na, to so jaane ka. Soke utke fir sochne ka uske bare mein ki gussa kiske liye aaya tha. Whole your perspective will change. What you have done in the process? You have just reconciled with your emotions, given them time. And then with a renewed, reconciled, peaceful situation, you are rethinking about the same occasion. And you can take a better decision. Also it is told when you have to take a very important decision of life, sleep nicely. maybe 1 day, 2 day, take good sleep and think about again and take a decision. So what is that sleeping? It's giving yourself time to recharge, to reconcile, to make yourself, you know, integrated with yourself. We are only drawing. We are not investing. Like I suppose keep speaking. Tomorrow I will not be able to speak only. My throat will be finished. So what I do? I lie down for 5 minutes and do Shavasana. I am ready for another 3 hours lecture. Or I do some other asanas which are Viparit Karani asanas. I am ready for another lecture. But that rejuvenation in between is required. I cannot expect myself to go on speaking for hours together without any replenishment. I need to sleep at night, eat food in between, to even do this kind of performance also. We are just facing the challenges, but not doing anything to strengthen ourselves. This is a strengthening process. Any other question?
You told he don't expect fal, the chinta mat karo. But I think expectation is again a part of motivation.
That is important. What Krishna is telling Arjun, you fight as if you want to win. And then if you lose, don't worry about it. So while you are working, you have to work for fall only. But when the fall comes, don't worry why it came little less, why it came little more, why it came this way and that way. What Krishna is telling, he is not saying that, see, once you have no fall only in your motivational direction, then you may lose working only. So Krishna told you have to fight the war and win the war. But in the end, if you lose the war, don't be attached. Accept it. And then acceptance will come. How much you have practiced spirituality, the acceptance will come at the time of failures. Ultimately, if one fails, then he can completely destroy his career. Or if he has strength to stand up again and fight, he may become extraordinarily successful. It's not right. We have heard so many stories in life. In fact, all the great success stories are from failures only. Edison was chucked out from school. He was a useless student. But he became Edison afterwards. So that strength, either somebody has to give you or you have to develop within yourself by practicing something. That is where the practice comes. See, we are very selfish people who are practicing spirituality. Because we know we are not able to face all the challenges of life. I need to strengthen myself to take the challenges in life and become successful in all conditions of life. So we take the strength. The weak has to take strength from the strong. Take the association of the strong. Always remain with the strong. Then he also appears to be strong with the strong person. Can I tell a small story to you?
Yes.
When we went to purchase our first flat for our clinic, only one flat was there. And we did the deal all doctors were there and we went. And the owner was very happy. We did the deal and he came to leave us at the gate of the society of the building. And his puppy followed him. Small puppy. He went behind the owner and we also were. And finally at the gate we stood up and he was going final bye-bye to us. At that time the puppy was also there. So three big dogs came from the road. And as soon as they saw the puppy, started barking like anything. They were very big and huge dogs. Puppy was little away. The puppy didn't do anything. First he came in between the two legs of his master, positioned himself and started barking in his puny voice. He barked with so much confidence that at one point of time, after a few minutes, the three dogs got fearful and they went away. So he was weak, but he took the strength of the strong and he appeared to be strong, and the big dogs who were stronger than him also had to go away. Simple philosophy. Everybody of us is weak. We may not show. All of us have some weaknesses inside. And we don't know how to tackle with them. But when we take the support of strong, then we also can tackle with them and we appear also strong. And others will draw strength from you. Although you are still working with yourself. But taking the help of the strong is wisdom. Is not weakness. Is intelligence. So devotees of the Lord, they know they are all infinitesimal part of the Lord. But when they connect with the Lord, they exhibit the qualities of the Lord in whatever quantity they can. And first quantity quality that they exhibit is happiness. But as soon as they connect with the Supreme, they become happy. From that moment onwards. You don't have to wait till graduation. After 5.5 years. No. The day you connect with the Lord through the Holy Name, that happiness will shine through you. And you cannot cheat yourself. You will have to experience that within yourself. Others may not believe, but you have to understand that I am now happy. I was not happy before. And who does not want to become happy? Tell me. All time in life, who does not want to become happy? In whatever conditions, poverty, richness, you are drawing few thousands or you are drawing few millions, all of them want to be happy. And some people who draw little, they are very happy. And some people draw millions, they are unhappy. Something is there now in between. Some reason is there in between. Something has to be reconciled in between to be happy all times. And I can't match you, you can't match me. You can't match with anybody here also in your resources or your gains in life. But still, you want to be happy and you can be happy. You know the formula. So, to end here or any more questions, I'll be happy to answer my capacity. So, my request to all of you, this kind of sessions are very important, very nice. You do continue this. Draw your strength from scriptural knowledge, from scriptural wisdom. Enrich yourself. Ask questions. Because only human beings can ask questions. Nobody else can ask questions. This is only for human beings. So take the benefit. There is no loss. No loss in this path. That much is guaranteed. Susukham kartum avyayam. This path is always joyful. And this path is, there is no loss. No diminution and no loss. So even if you do, for so if अरे मैंने बहुत दिन वेस्ट किया इसमें करने में कुछ मिला नहीं ठीक है देयर इज नो लॉस देयर इज गुड चांस देयर विल बी गेन हरे कृष्णा थैंक यू वेरी मच आई एम एक्सट्रीमली ग्रेटफुल टू ऑल ऑफ यू